welcome to another episode of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on last week's defeat to Alloa, preview the Scottish Cup tie to Premiership side Dundee, and we'll be hearing from Rico Katongo and Jordan Brown. I'm Colin Byers, and with me again is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. Have you defrosted since Saturday yet?
Just about. It was a cold day.
Feet was up frozen on Saturday night. I couldn't feel my feet. It was that bad.
It was a chilly one.
And there wasn't much excitement to get us warmed up with the game either. But and I've got myself a wee bit of a call. It is just a call before everybody starts going, have you seen a test? I have seen a test. It was negative. So it's fine.
So we're all good to go.
Right. So let's crack on then with Saturday's game. As I said, not much really. I mean, my notes, I was struggling for notes, to be honest with you. It was just the best of games. Is another defeat, and it's a defeat to a team that was around about us. I think we mentioned last week how important these games are, taking points or not dropping points to the teams around about us.
Yeah, frustrating afternoon. I said to your dad before the game, I said, it's the sort of games that we need to be winning. And then it got to half time, we thought, you know what, we'll actually be quite happy to take a point now, just the way that the game had gone. But again, even if I had gotten a point, I didn't think that in these games that's enough. I said it before a couple of weeks back when we got kind of a couple of points against Clyde and these five. It's like at this moment in time, I just feel that we're sort of sleepwalking into a relegation playoff. You look at teams around about us, they're picking up points here and there, whilst our last win was 18th of December in the league, and we made hard work against East Kilbride in the cup. Things aren't quite going our way. I mean, you make your own luck, but I think on Saturday the passing's good, don't get me wrong, up until the final third, but then after that, you know, we didn't really do much with it. And I think that's a frustrating part. You know, there's quite a few folk running about us on Saturday as well. A few of them were saying, just hit the damn thing. And it sort of sums up the fan reaction. You know, that it's all right playing pretty fit, by a nice passing, nice touches in midfield, but it just seems that we're going nowhere. And as I said, I generally think we're sleepwalking into a bit of trouble.
I mean, it very much felt like the Clyde game, in terms of the opponent got an early lead.
Yeah.
And they just sat in, and you could have almost gone kind of another hour, another 2 hours, and it didn't feel like we was going to get anything. Whereas the Clyde game, we got that very last minute equaliser, and again this game here, you just didn't feel as though there was that one clear cut chance coming.
Yeah, I've got to agree. I think we're lacking in front of goal. As you said, teams can sort of come up here, and they can, if they get the first goal, then 9 times out of 10 they're going to get something out of the game. And I struggle to see, looked at the game on Saturday, and I struggle to see where that goal's going to come from. You know, Ken Russell's got a fair few goals this season, but they seem to come in streaks rather than it's a goal here, a goal there. He'll maybe get two a game, then one, then two, and then, you know, the goals total up. But you know, you're looking for more guys to chip in. I think there's been a couple of new players coming in, but I just think we're a little bit disjointed as well. You can see at times it's a team that didn't train together a lot. And that's not a big criticism of the players, it's just the way things are at this level. But, you know, there comes a point in time that if you're going to sleepwalk into trouble, then something needs to change. And I just think our performances just now, the passing's good, the idea and intent's there, but the execution is lacking. And I think that's going to cause us problems.
It's interesting that in Saturday's game, and I think the previous games as well, he's switched to a 4-3-3 or a 4-5-1, if you like. And quite often, with that formation, because Nia Payne is so wide and Ryan Duncan so wide on the other side, Russell McLean will get himself quite isolated. That's obviously not his fault.
Yeah.
He's obviously the player up front, but quite often he was getting the ball and there was nobody sort of within 10 or 15 yards of him in a blue shirt. You look at the midfield, McCarthy and Duffy and Jack Brown, who was starting, there was nobody really there. I mean, Duffy, we'll come on to him playing out of position, but he's obviously the more sort of defensive minded one. McCarthy will be almost your box to box, but you know, he's more the defensive kind of side of things as well, and Jack Brown was a little bit quiet for me as well. So there was nobody really getting forward from that midfield to help out. And I think that's where, you know, having been so successful with the 5-3-2, 3-5-2, however you want to put it, to then change it because we've lost one player just seems a little bit strange if you take the rift.
I think you look at the team on paper, it wasn't a defensive team, but I certainly think it was a team that lacked creativity, and I think that was it showed in Sarden. And as you said, Russell did seem quite isolated, and we've spoken numerous times about trying to get somebody closer. Whether he needs to go two up top, I can do it later. You're going to get 90 minutes out of him. But if it needs to be somebody else playing alongside him that's slightly out of position, i.e. a Jordan Brown sort of situation, then so be it. But there needs to be... I think I can count... Was there Ryan Duncan, good ball in on Saturday. Nobody was at the back post. Because there's only Russell on the box. Mm-hmm. There's only so much that he can do. Now, whilst I'm maybe being critical of he's not scoring enough, the service interim's got to be a lot better than what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he can only score on the service that he's given if he's not given the service. So yeah, the team formation, it wasn't a defensive team, but it certainly lacked creativity. As you said, Flynn defensive, Jack Brown's a bit quiet, McCarthy's are box to box, so you're looking for that somebody in midfield to sort of drive forward. I thought Naya did okay. Only time he seemed to get the ball, there was two Alawa players in about him, same with Ryan Duncan. They can only do so much, but it's a team game. And I just think the levels just need to be stepped up a little bit.
I think certainly the first half of that game and the two previous games, certainly missed Scott Brown, and that's quite an eye-opener when you're missing one player and suddenly the lack of drive, because as I said, once we get into the final third, or before we got to the final third, everything seemed to be good. It was, you know, quite confident with the ball, but it just... Maybe having that final execution of Scott does like to have pop for range. He can spot a pass and can get into the box. So we're certainly missing him. And I think even in the second half when he did come on, there was a slight change.
Yeah, absolutely. When Scott came on, there was a change for the better. It just seems that the moment there, the football's good up until the final third, and it just seems that the lack of confidence just now, I think, starting to come through as well. Nobody really wants to hear that shot. They'd rather play a ball 5 yards square. Right, somebody else will hear a shot. And then in the end, nobody has a shot. And if you buy a lottery ticket, you didn't win. It's the same. If you don't take a shot, you're not going to score the goal. For your needs, a ricochet off somebody's backside and it to go in. That can be the difference. But although I had, I think, one shot on target, two at miss, and they've scored, they've taken off 3 points. Whereas we're only getting efforts away, and it's nice up until the box, and then we're doing nothing. But you know, it needs to change. As you said, Scott Brown missing for a couple of games, we change formation, that is a worry.
And it was interesting you picked up on the point about Naya Payne getting up. I thought he was one of our better players, certainly first half, but I don't know if they identified him as a threat, but considering obviously the two games he's obviously played against him, he scored against him, so they obviously thought he was a threat. But every time he seemed to get the ball, either was two or three. And I think there was one point towards the end of this first half, there was four. And he beat all four as well. But again, where's the support for him, you know, in that final third? He shouldn't be having to take on four. You know, there was I think Katongo eventually got there to help him out, but there was just not enough bodies in the final third.
Yeah, I completely agree. Naya had the ball, there was four players in about him. You think if you can get a pass away, because that's four players that's been dragged in about him, so there's evidently at least three players out of position that you can maybe try and work on. But Flynn Duffy and Rika Tonga were too far back. Again, it goes back to when Russell McLean's up top, he's a bit isolated. Again, with Naya Payne there, there needs to be a collective group. You know, you talk about pressing for the front of the striker. You need to go in a group, and I think it's the same when we're attacking. It just seemed that the longer the game went in the first half, it felt like a Peterhead team that didn't want to lose the game rather than a team going out to win the game. I think if we'd seen a point, a lot of the players might have thought, well, it's a point gained, you know, it's still keeping the gap. But, again, I go back to it, we're now in the situation where you need wins or else we're sleepwalking in the problem.
And I think the first sort of 10, 15 minutes of the game certainly set up to be a case that both sides knew that they didn't want to lose the game. It was you know, especially all having gone 10 or 11 without a win.
Yeah.
And it was important for Peter to try and get the points at the first 10 minutes. It was just an absolute non-event. I mean, the keepers had nothing to do. I mean, Kane, if Hutton actually touched the bar, I know Brett maybe had a couple of goal kicks, but that's really about it. And I kind of set the tone for the for much of that the first half.
Yeah, it summed up really, did it? It was, as you said, a non-event. I mean, kind of first 15, 20 minutes, there was a little bit of wind. Whether that played a factor in the players' mind, I don't know. I think it was quite breezy before kickoff. But, you know, the guys at Peterhead are used to a bit of wind. It's nothing unusual for them. So you'd have thought, if anything, it would have worked in their advantage, although I couldn't play with the wind. But, yeah, non-event in the first 15, 20 minutes.
And the decisive moment of the game came on the 14th minute then. And we've said this before about conceding early. And it's even more prevalent now that we're conceding early, because there's that, and then you create this anxiety of, you know, well, we have to try and do something pretty quick. And you think, well, you know, they've scored after 40 minutes, there's plenty of time. But as I said earlier, you could have maybe played another 90 minutes and they scored. And if we thought the game echoed the same as what the Clyde game was, I think this goal was almost the same as the goal that East Kilbride got in the Cup. It was more or less a carbon copy.
Yeah, it was almost like a replay, was it? Exactly the same problem. Lost possession midfield, one ball cuts through midfield and defence, a bit of a gap. And, you know, he's took it well, a good finish. But again, we're architects of our own downfall. We've seen that a few times this season. And I know when you look at every goal as preventable, it's somewhere along the line, but, you know, some goals are a lot. You'd praise the attack rather than criticise the defence, but on that occasion, you know, you're creating your own problems.
Yeah, I think it's McCarthy's maybe been dispossessed just in the Alloa half. So there's a long way between where he lost the ball to the ball going into the net, and it's a case of, it was one pass. I think it was Skugel that it played in, Henderson, and so within two passes, the ball's in the net. And you kind of keep giving teams a one goal start.
It puts too much pressure on you going forward. I think we're creating many chances. You know, it's like I said, it's a bonny football, but there's nothing at the end of it. It's not like you can think, well, we've scored quite a few goals in our last few games, and we've got decent confidence we'll come back. Yeah, I always felt that if Alloa scored first, we were going to struggle to get anything out of the game, and that was even a point. There was a bit of discontent and about us on Saturday, because, you know, the goal went in, there's a few folks saying, well, that's it, we're not getting back in the game. But can that's only 1-0 doing against a team running about you? It's not like a Cove that are flying top of the table and you think, well, we are going to struggle. It's a team running about you. And I think that's what I set the fan reaction on Saturday as well. A lot of folk left us gruntled by the performance.
I've made a point of making the fans, I've got fans' frustration written down in my notes here, so we'll come on to that at the end there. But in my notes here, they've scored in 14, and then it's taken us about 20 minutes to get a shot away. I know maybe Russell had one from a mistake at the back. Arnie McCarthy's shot, sorry, was in the 37th minute, and I think that just kind of sums up how the game was going. You know, we've gone 1-0 down quite early on, and it's taken us over 20 minutes before we get a shot away. It was a long range effort from McCarthy. Hutton saved it. I think it's maybe just drifting wide. I would say maybe Hutton's just maybe making sure, but
maybe it's quite something to do.
Well, maybe that's maybe what it was, but I get it, just taking way too long to get shots away.
Yeah, it's frustrating. I think you'd be expecting something to happen a lot quicker than what it did. Normally, can start of the season, even when you did concede, you always felt, well, we're still on with a chance. But again, I think it goes down to confidence. Our last league win was the 18th of December, and you scored three goals at Dumbarton. So, I mean, there is goals in the team, but again, missing a key player like Scott Brown in a game like that, he's too big a player need to have. I mean, I know he came on at second half. I don't know how fit Scott was. He maybe, you know, hindsight's a brilliant thing. Could he have started the game, got an hour and then come off? Could have been a different game. But like you said earlier on, if you're relying on one player, that's a bigger issue.
I also think maybe in that case as well, Grant, because he's been playing so well as well, because obviously I think you're looking for him to be the spark. And I think sometimes in a game like that, he maybe would have provided that little bit of a spark, but again, it's two players. We've got a squad of 27 now. The 26 is Darren's obviously away, so somebody else needs to step up to the plate.
it's, well, I'm not going to sit here and say I care much about Jack Brown as a player, because I don't, but on the basis of the Alloa game and the hour or so that he got, I don't think that Duffy, McCarthy and Jack Brown is a midfield three that that can play and still be effective going forward. Mm. I think you do need a Scott Brown, a Hamish Ritchie or a Grant Savory in there to give you that person that's willing to, somebody to take the ball and drive. I'm not saying a Jack Kennedy, but what we've seen so far based on that one game, I think it's difficult for that three to play. And otherwise, you've got six defensive players, and you've got Nia Payne, Russell McLean and Ryan Duncan, but you've got two of them on the wing. So you become so ineffective that you do need that somebody driving in midfield.
What did you make of Duffy playing in midfield again? Because obviously his first game here was as a midfield, but he was playing alongside Simon Ferrier. And then since then, he's pretty much been playing left back or left wing back. So when I got the team sheet and I saw he and Kutonga were both playing, I just automatically assumed, well, we must be playing 4-4-2. Kutonga will play in the left the midfield, and Duffy will continue to play at left back, or the two of them might kind of interchange because they both can play that positions. And then it turns out he's actually playing in centre midfield. For me, I don't think his fault, because obviously it's not his position, but I just think we took out one of our positive attacking sides. You know, we get a lot of creativity from him because he's been building up his confidence. He's been getting into the bylines and getting the crosses in. So I just think we've taken that away. We're then not asking Kutongo to do that, and he played well, got man of the match for the sponsors, but he missed about 2 or 3 months of football. Can't expect him to be getting up and doing that wing.
Yeah, I think Flynn's having to play a more reserved position. I'm not quite sure it suits him as a player, because as you said, he's got bags of ability, and he's got a really good drive on him, which is something that, you know, ironically we've been lacking the last couple of games. So I certainly think it was a surprise that he was playing in that position, and as you said, Rico Kutongo at left back as well. I think the balance of the team was slightly off on Saturday. Now, whether that was because obviously Simon's injured and Scott just wasn't capable of playing 90 minutes or an hour, then so be it, then these decisions will be made. But yeah, to me, he's playing in a mere reserve position, and he's probably better in another one.
Should we have had a penalty first half then? McLean, I think it was Graham with the high boot just before half time.
Yeah, to me that's a penalty. Yeah, I can't see how many people would say it's me, apart from the man that counted.
I was going to say, one person didn't think
it
was.
One person. But again, the referee, he's not giving a penalty. Surely a linesman, assistant referee, I should say nowadays, he's looking right at it as well. He sees the ball coming in. He's in a great position, because I think that was almost the last defender, so he's got to be in line with that as well. You know, for the two of them to get that, I think that's poor.
And I think the linesman was unimpeded with his view as well. There was because the play, I think it was just like a flick, a long ball for Duffy that was flicked on by Payne. So there was nobody really impeding, and as you said, he would have been high enough to be in line with the last defender. So it baffles me as to why anybody would think it wasn't a penalty. And I think somebody had said to him and said as well, if that was outside the box, it probably would have been a foul. But that's
absolutely
not really the point. It's a foul if it's inside the box or outside the box. It has to be. It has to be a penalty.
Yeah, I think it is. I think Russell maybe did get an explanation. I can't need a few choice words to say to the referee, and then the referee stopped the game to have a wee chat with him. He's probably explained the reason it would be. We find it came what the reason was. I sort of see why it's not a penalty. He's taken him out. And again, them little. Going about, you need that break and you make your own luck. But if you don't get decisions like that, that doesn't help your case.
Mm-hmm. And that's the same referee that, if you remember doing it at the Queen's Park game, McLean got taken out by the Queen's Park keeper, was given a foul against, and then was also booked as well for his so I don't know if he's got a thing against Russell McLean.
I think he should be writing a letter to the SFA.
Was that an 8 point complaint or 10 points, maybe? Where was it? I think it was up to 12.
I think the referees this season, we could rack them up.
Salmon, Conor Salmon had a chance as well in the second half, which was a comedy moment because he actually did everything he needed to and then just fell over. But no, it's funny, but in all seriousness, that could have been 2-0 and that really would have been kind of game over. I know we still lost the game, but you know, 2-0 down, we just wouldn't have been anywhere near the races then.
I told you the wind was strong. 2-0 it would have been Gartons. But thankfully for us, he's just slipped. He's got his footing wrong. But again, he's right in front of goal. Again, Britt Long's got a good record of shot stopping, but I think even he would have struggled with that. It was a couple of yards. It was just inside, just outside the 6-yard box.
Just inside the 6-yard box.
And he's fallen over. So yeah, Connor's in the hard work, but gust of wind.
But that's an interesting thing, and I've got it written down here as well. But the fact that Conor Salmon and Henderson remained on the park for, I think, the majority of the game. In fact, if not, as a partnership with two up front, would suggest to me that you know they were willing to you know just put the ball up to Salmon and Henderson was going to get the knockdowns.
Yeah,
and I think that's the difference. Those two were a threat on the counter because there was two. You know, Henderson. If Salmon was getting the flick ones or holding up, Henderson was there. If I was saying earlier on about McLean, if he's getting the flick ons or if he's holding up, there's nobody doing about it.
Yeah. Frustrating because, like I said, Russell can only score if he's getting the service. The service needs to be better. But he needs players running about him to be able to get the goals and the assists with the service running about. I've never been a lover of one up top. I can see why managers do it, but to me, you're almost relying on creating two or three chances and scoring. I do feel if you get two up top, naturally you should be creating more chances and you're pinning the other team back. But again, the two lads for Alloa, they stayed on the majority of the game, if not at all. And again, it just seems to me that Barry Ferguson wasn't worried about Peter Heed scoring. He was more worried about, well, if we can get a second game, it's definitely game over.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I never felt a goal was really coming for us.
Niang had another chance again. It was a ball going away in midfield and he just kept running and running, just dragged it slightly wide. So again, it wasn't just a case that they were just sitting in and that was it. They were defending. They were quite happy to try and break us down and pick up on the mistakes and counter attack. And you know, on another day they could have actually won that game 2-3.
I think Alloa, they weren't by all means a great team, but they did a professional job. They got a goal ahead. They didn't camp in their own box. They were willing to, as you said, counter attack at the right time. They knew when to get the ball and hold and retain possession. They seemed to, whilst it was a game full of quality, I think Alloa dictated how the game was going to go. Obviously, a lot of that is going by the goal that they got. They were able to control the game from then. But even before that, again, it was a non-event before the goal, but I still felt that they were more in control of the game than what we were.
And it took us to the 93rd minute before we really tested Houghton in goal, Jordan Brown effort. And this is kind of hard to what we're saying about the two up front. But by this time, Lyle and Jordan had both come on and were playing as a two. I think Jordan actually gets a flick on, Lyle controls it, and then Jordan carries on with his own and creates that opportunity for himself. But and just the way things are going, he probably hits it too well, and it's a comfortable save in the end for Hutton. But it's the 93rd minute.
Yeah,
that's how you know to really really test them.
Well, that's a frustrating part of it, is it? You're 1-0 doing it for 40 minutes, but it's a 93rd minute before there's really a telling shot on target, one that's going to cause Hutton problems. And even then, it didn't really cause him problems. It's a comfortable save. Sorry, I just summed up our attacking 10 at the moment.
Yeah, and as we'll hear from just shortly, he obviously is disappointing. I think they're all disappointing at the lack of goals, but it seems to be the lack of goals is coming for the lack of chances being created. I think that's the theme that we're trying to get across at the minute.
Yeah, it's lack of chance creation. I think that's the disappointing thing. If you, eight, nine shots on target and the keeper's played well, then so be it. But we're not really testing keepers either. I think keepers and defences have got it a wee bit too easy when they're playing us at the moment. We need to try and mix it up a little bit, whether that's a slight change of personnel in a few positions or a change of formation. But like I said right at the start of the programme, I think we're sleepwalking into trouble. You look at teams around about us, you know, they're picking up a point here and a point there. For us, you know, our last win, like I said, was the 18th of December in the league. So, you know, we're in a bit of trouble, I think.
Okay, right. As I said, we'll hear for a couple of players. We'll hear for Jordan, but first we're going to hear for one of the new signings, Rico Cotongo.
Right, Rico, first of all, welcome to Peterhead. How does it feel to be here?
Thanks for having me, it's great. Like I said, I was looking forward to getting on the pitch. Last week I got a few minutes and today I got my first start, so straight in, going into the game today. I think we controlled them well on top, with limited chances that I had, probably just keeping the back of net. But straight as it is, we keep playing like that, I don't see it lasting for long, so once we hit the net, we'll see a storm.
How do you feel yourself? Are you fit? Are you ready to go?
Well, like I said, it's my first game in 2 months, so I managed to get through it. I was crap up at the end, took a wee knock on my knee, but for me, I try to go play my football, so I'll go through it till the end. But to be honest, we done it as a team, we were great. Just again, it's frustrating. So for me, get back my match, it was all right. It was all right. I'd rather win than my match performance.
It was a frustrating game overall. You know, having plenty of the ball, but in the final third, maybe they just seemed too much with it.
That's what it is. They had one chance first half and they scored, whereas we've had the ball, we've had numerous balls into the box, nice little plays. But I guess goal win the games, you can play it all you want, but as long as we put the ball in the back of the net, which they done. But like I said, games will go on and we'll get chances and we'll take them. Like I said, once we keep going and we score, we don't see a stop, honestly.
Should we have a penalty in the first half? When you tackle on McLean?
It's one of the ones. I think if it was outside the box, it's given a foul, but apparently, I'm shooting for it, but it may be a bit soft, but again, it's just one of these things in football, so it's not, it didn't change the game, to be honest.
Chances towards the end, I think Jordan had one good save. Maybe that's the kind of disappointing thing in the game overall. That was maybe Hutton's only save of the game.
Like I said, we used the ball well, but just not in the final third, too much to the ability we've got. But that'll come, and like I said, once it comes, it's just what this bit of luck we're going through now. But I don't see it last, as long as we're playing good, anything can happen.
Spoke to Flynn last week, and he was saying how well the teammates were working well in training. Obviously, both sort of left-sided players. You were both playing today. Is that a good thing for you? Two very good players, you know, competing for the same positions?
Aye, it's long competition. You never want to be complacent. Flynn's a great player. He's young, I knew about him before I came, and if I can pass on the experience to him, I'll put him a little bit of sleep. I'm a wee bit older than him, but I've played the league for the last few years, so it's great to see him go for a different position, so it's versatile. And just me, points I can give him, but I thought he was brilliant today. To be out of any position, I thought he was brilliant.
Okay, Jordan, thoughts on the game then?
Super frustrating. I think it's just been the same story really now for 5 or 6 weeks probably. Just kind of a lot of possession, teams camped in, but just that final third, just scoring goals, it seems to finish each now and then. Obviously, when you concede first and you chase a game, and especially at home, for a team to wake up on here, and if they nick a goal first, then it's exactly how they want to play.
So how you're finding it now these days, that teams are sort of sitting in against us now?
A wee bit, yeah. The way we're playing, we've obviously played, didn't kind of change the style a bit. Really, this season, we were trying to play from the back, and teams, yeah, up here are maybe sitting off a bit, and really protecting their box, where it's hard for us to score. And just to be honest, they've not really had a break. You know, the ball's not quite broken the box how it would. And even the end there, like, you just want one of them to go, the ball to go in. Even I think East Kilbride game in the cup as well was the same. You know, there was 3 or 4 that just went past the post. And yeah, for us, there's no excuses. We need to be more clinical.
Is there a sense of maybe about an anxiety once we do go behind it? You know, maybe just try to do too much too quick?
A wee bit, yeah, because it does, of course, it changes your mentality a bit, because you feel like obviously you've got to score, get something out of the game then. So yeah, it can do, and the conditions here are never easy. I mean, today wasn't actually too bad. I thought it was going to be a bit worse, but you end up maybe trying to force something, trying to play through and get the ball forward early where we could just keep moving it, but or vice versa, we end up playing too many passes at the back and then not get it forward quick enough. So yeah, I think of course it does, you try and force things, you try and score chasing the game never helps, you know, and it plays into the opposition's hands.
Should we have a penalty first half?
I think first half, definitely. Russell's one, yeah. I thought Russell's one was. I was right there, I was warming up at the end there, and I thought Russell being Russell, 6 foot odd, you know, 6 foot five or whatever, six. He's even put his head down slightly, but you know, and yeah. the defenders clattered him, so I thought the linesman was 10 yards away, you know, you could have seen that.
Yeah, that's what we kind of thought. It was always a bit healthy as linesman, but.
Yeah, the linesman was quiet all day, but I think then. Second half ones, I think I was still on the bench when Andy McDonald's won. He was under the bar, but he got pulled back, and then Scott's one at the end was just difficult. I think the defender was really clever and pulled his leg out right as we went to get the ball there. Really,
it's the same ref I think we've had doing at Queen's Park,
and he never gave
any didn't win against Russell as well, so he's obviously got something against Russell.
Yeah, no, it's frustrating.
Chance for yourself right at the end as well.
Yeah, it's been obviously a frustrating season and all really. I think with COVID and hamstrings and trying to get back in the team, so I think I'm desperate to score a goal. I think every time I've came on I've been close, and today probably defending caught it too well, just straight down the middle either side of him and keep it low, it would have a chance, but it was a bit on the stretch, and we just need to test the goalie more, you know. We need to take more shots. We're sometimes looking for the perfect goal, and the ball, like you say, we've had a lot of crosses in the box, which is frustrating for me to see because it's where I want to be and attacking the crosses. And but again, as the managers I'm sure said, it's a young team, you know, and the potential here is brilliant. If we can keep them grouped together, then I'm confident things will definitely turn. But we've got a tough month ahead of us now. Obviously, a good game to come a week on Monday against Dundee, and then it's tough this league, is it? You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, from a personal point of view, I'm doing what I can to train as hard as I can and feeling really, really good and just trying to come on and affect the game in the best way I've always said, affect the game, scoring a goal. And it's just today, that's I'll be thinking about that for a while.
Yeah, as you said, it's a big month. We've now got five games, so we've obviously played one now, four left with the Falkirk game now being rearranged for the Tuesday. So how key is it to even make the home games count?
Definitely, I think we've done that most of the season, haven't we? Obviously, we were really felt disappointed when Cove won here just after New Year. And then obviously a lot of the day, even though they're getting drawn, we should have won, really, you know. And but we can't keep talking about that. We've got to win them. We've got to score first in a game. So the home ones are going to be key. Like I say, you know how hard it is to win in this league anywhere, but away is obviously difficult. When and going to a full time team like Falkirk during the week will be tough. Same with Queen's Park. So. Yeah, we've got to relish that game. So we're coming thinking fast, but we need to pick up some points and some wins, really.
I think Rico said there's goals win your games. I think that's sort of simplifies the game, but he's right, isn't he?
Yeah, I think both the players that was interviewed, they're bang on with their interviews. We've got the more clinical with the chances. Goals win your game, but if you're not creating the chances, then you're not going to score and win the game, and we give ourselves an uphill task by conceding first as well.
Rico was given the man of the match, Bonsall's man of the match. I think it's maybe telling that a defender's got in the man of the match in a game that we've lost.
Yeah,
because there's really nothing else really. Unless he was giving it because he was something new, of course.
A player that hasn't played for a few months as well.
Yeah.
I think is also telling. Mm. So yeah, there's definitely what we can say is there's definitely things to work on and train and improve on.
Mm-hmm.
But as Jordan said in the interview there, and you rightly pointed out. You know, February's a busy month, and I said a couple of weeks ago, I think come the end of February we'll get a real idea of where we're going to finish in the table. And we need to pick up points, we need to be more clinical, and we need to start getting the wins.
Jordan there as well was quite honest with his appraisal, I guess, saying that, you know, plenty of crosses going in, but there's just nobody there. Does he deserve a start, do you think?
Yeah, I do. He's been chopping on the door now for a good couple of weeks, even going back to before Christmas. He seems to get these little cameo appearances, 5-10 minutes, and he is quite effective. He said now in his audio there that he's the last couple of times he's come on the way, he can affect the games by scoring a goal and, you know, getting chances, and he's getting closer. I certainly think that there's a definite role for him. I think if he was off Russell McLean, you know, that link-up play is definitely an area of the park that we're weak in. I certainly think he can do a job.
As I said earlier on, with the effort that he did came from the fact that him and Lyle had combined. So it's just worth changing it a little bit.
Yeah, I think we've got to do something. Otherwise, you know, if you're doing the same thing over and over again and they're getting the success and the results, then you've got a problem and you need somebody to be strong enough and say, right, this isn't working, we need to change it. And that's got to come from the management team. And I'm sure they'll look at the videos back and the reports, and they'll hopefully look at it and see, you know, there maybe isn't something quite working.
As I said earlier, we're going to mention some of the fans' frustration, and I think I'd like to think that we kind of share or kind of echo maybe what some of the fans are saying. I think it was more notable in the stands that there is a bit of frustration. You can see it, as I said, in the, during the game, and you can see it on social media as well. I think one of the ones that said that they couldn't fight their way out of a paper bag or something like that. It's clear there's a bit of a frustration. Do you share that frustration? Do you see where it's coming from?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, share it and can see where it's coming from. You know, these guys pay money to come and watch the game, and you know, if it were Winterson just now, isn't it good? And that's the players admit that themselves. This isn't us just, you know, barricading them and saying this has been rubbish. It's, and the fans' frustration you can completely understand. And you know, like I said, there needs to be a change somewhere. Now, it's not me saying the managers to go. What I'm saying is we need either a change of personnel, because I think you look at the team sheet and you can almost write who's going to be playing. And as you pointed out, we've got a squad now of 26. You know, this guy sitting on the bench should be looking at the saying to the manager, well, look, we're in poor form. Give me a chance. Show me what I can do. Yeah, a lot of disgruntled folk. There's actually a couple of folk in front of us on Saturday actually left at half-time. Or they said they were going to leave at half-time. I didn't see them come back to that seats that they were in the first half. Because they said, well, it fits a point because we're not going to score. And I think that sort of just sums up where we're at now, that we can see the first goal and then we're going to struggle again anything from the game. So yeah, I can certainly see where the fans' frustration is coming from.
I think it was maybe the start of this season. You and I sat down here and we almost kind of had the same conversation. We were going through a spell. I think it was maybe like five or six defeats in a row, and then obviously things changed slightly. At that time, I think we had more or less the same discussion. I know there was, when you look at social media, it's usually the same kind of people will be negative. It doesn't matter what happens, you see these guys popping up. But what I'm noticing now, it's actually more and more people are coming forward and saying, yeah, look, this isn't good enough. You know, the next game's probably going to be another defeat. We can't score. And it's probably folk that have been supportive of the team, like you and I, for a long time. But there is, and that, as I said, that frustration, you can feel it within the stadium now as well.
Yeah.
As soon as that goal for Alawa goes in, you just think, oh, right, here we go again. There just didn't seem to be any. And there's a lot of football saying, just get the ball forward. Yes, the pass is nice and pretty, but in the end, it's not really coming to anything.
Yeah, I had to laugh. I had. It was Bonnie Fitba. Granted, it was in Warren midfield, it wasn't really going anywhere. And then I hear somebody shouting, you know, get the ball forward. Within three passes, Andy McDonald's made a long ball and it's going out for a throw-in. And the same person shouted, why have you gone so direct?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's difficult for the players as well. I completely get that. And fans are right to voice their frustration. You know, the guys get praised when it's going well. They've got to take the criticism when it's not going so well. But these players, they've admitted themselves that, you know, we should be in a higher position. There's definite quality in the squad. Mm-hmm. It's about getting that to come together. But at the moment, there's a lot of people now not seeing where we're going. Mm-hmm. I personally struggle to see the identity of the team that we've got. But it's all good Bonnie Fitba until you get to the final third.
Mm-hmm.
And then nothing happens. So, yeah, I think there's quite a lot of disgruntled people in for good reason.
As you said earlier on, our last win was the 18th of December. And since then, we've played six games. Four of those games we haven't scored in.
Yeah.
And, you know, we scored two against East Kilbride, a lowland team, and we still, you know, didn't get win the game. And they got the one late equaliser against Clyde. So there's evidently something lacking there.
Yeah, we're not scoring goals. I don't think the formation really helps Russell, whether that playing one up top. I think there needs to be somebody around about him. But hopefully, you know, the management team can see that there is a slight issue. Whether he perseveres and goes with the one up top, I don't know. Me personally, I'd like to see a change in the formation.
Excuse me. And it's clear that, obviously, we've played 23 games, only 29 goals scored. Only East Fife have got scored less, and they're bottom of the table. So you can see where our season is struggling.
Yeah. If the players are in it, if you don't score goals, you don't win games. It's a very simplified way of looking at football, but it's true. If you don't score goals, you won't win games. And I think that is... We mentioned during the episode a couple of weeks ago, far do you think we need to strengthen? And it was one of them things, well, you could improve defensively because we're not scoring enough goals, or do you try and get a striker that everybody's looking for to come in and help? I personally think there is goals in the team, but I don't think the formation's suiting them players at the moment.
And the run we've got next, it's a tough run. It'll be tough anyway in the league. But we've got Airdrie next, Falkirk, Dumbarton, Queens, by the Park, Cove and Montrose. So our next six games, we're playing the top four.
Yeah, which is why I mentioned that these games, likes of East Fife and Alloa, okay, we didn't get a point against Alloa, but a point against East Fife, yeah, you can look at it and go, it's a point gain, but when you look at the run of fixtures that you've got, I do think it became 2 points dropped. I go back to harp on about it against Clyde, you're 2-0 up, you didn't win the game. Those are the things that, when you look at the end of the season, I think will be where Achilles' heel, that we haven't killed off teams or been strong enough against the teams around about us.
Final thought then, on Saturday, you wanted to make a point about the two of the four Browns.
Yeah, it's not often you see it at games, but just touching Scott Brown and Jason Brown, a couple of young lads in front of us on Saturday on the far side, they're shouting over at the players as they're doing their warm-up. And they've got their hands over the billboards to acknowledge the players. And Scott and Jason have come across and they've given high fives to three or four of the kids down below. And to me, it's a very small gesture, but to see them kids' faces, they turned around, their parents was obviously in the front row of the actual stand. And the kids are smiling from ear to ear. Now, it's a very small gesture, but that little thing can encourage kids to come back to a game. And like I said, it's only a high five, it's not a massive thing. But just for them players to take the time to come over in their warm-up to give these kids a high five, I think that you didn't see much of it in football, and they've got to take the credit for it, so well done, guys.
And that might be the only thing that they take from that game. That might be the only thing they were taking for the game anyway, but because it was so poor. But you know, had it been a game that they won, they might have still just gone, that would be the most positive thing.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's... These kids are looking up, they're seeing their team play, and they're seeing them players go, well, you know, got high five from Jason and Scott. Again, to them guys, it's a little thing, it's only a high five, but to that kids have turned around to their parents, and it might just encourage them to come back. Like I said, it's a small token gesture, but, you know, well done, guys.
Right, before I completely lose my voice, we've got one other thing to talk about, is the Scottish Cup tie against Dundee on Valentine's night, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. A big game, it's got to be on BBC as well. In terms of the financial rewards for this game, regardless of the result, it's got to be really positive for the club.
Yeah, it's no secret that, you know, most clubs in Scotland have struggled over the last couple of years. And we've spoken before with the cup draws, do you try and get the so-called money-spinning tie, or do you try and get a team that you can get through? And I think, you know, I had this game, they've been on BBC, it was one of them ties. It's not exactly a winnable one, but it's not also a money spinner. I think the fact that it's now in the BBC gives that club that financial added boost. I think it's a good thing for the club that they'll be rewarded with the TV coverage, and hopefully the guys can put on a show for it.
It'd be interesting to see who's in the dugout for Dundee, because at this stage it could be anybody, because they really are really struggling in the league. That doesn't seem to make a difference to further we're playing, because we said that against the Alloa. But I think their only win in the last 10 was against Dumbarton in the Cup in the last round, and they just squeaked through 1-0.
Yeah.
So things are really going from bad to worse for James McPake at Dundee. So you would think this is an even bigger game for them now, as opposed to it being... I think obviously we're going to be underdogs for this one, but certainly I think if anybody is to lose this game, probably if McCabe lose this one, it could be his final game.
Yeah, I'm just... They're away to Hearts on Wednesday night, Dundee. Now, if they take a bit of a hiding, do they allow James and Pete to stay on and see how they got on against Dundee, or do they think, well, we'll take a clean slate and start it from the Peterhead game? They're under pressure, James McPake and his coaching staff at Dundee, which is strange, because I think they've got a half decent squad. Obviously they're not showing that on the table, but we do not want to be playing them and give them the opportunity to, you know, start, you know, kickstart their season. I said that a couple of weeks back, if we beat East Kilbride, you know, could kickstart our season.
Team selection will be interesting, because obviously the four guys that have come in. Three of the four guys will be cupped out. I think maybe Cairns might be available, but certainly Quatongo and Jack Brown will be unavailable. But on the plus side, there's so many guys that come back and was on the bench on Saturday, like Conroy was back, Cook was back, obviously Scott Brown you think would be fit, Grant Savory as well. So team selection will be interesting.
Is it one of them that he goes and, well, he will try something different and try different personnel, or does he try and go with this 4-5-1 or wide 4-3-3 and try and play what we've been doing and try and see if it works? Like I said, I think we do need a change. I don't know if many people will be expecting Peterhead to win. I know Dundee's in bad form, but they are the Premiership team, but then you could look at they're coming away to a League One side on a Monday night. Will the fans see it? Be interested to see how the bookies look at it, because neither team's exactly set in the heather of light. But on the positive side, if you can beat Dundee, what a chance that it would be, you know, in the cup. And again, as I mentioned that a couple of weeks back about kickstarting your season, you just think, if you got a win against Dundee, as all unlikely as it would seem, it's a one-off cup game. You just never know what could happen.
And you're into the quarterfinals round, so suddenly things get a little bit better as well. But it's been a historic game, first time that the two sides have met in the Scottish Cup as well. A lot of League Cup games, five times we've played each other in the League Cup, two wins for Dundee, one win for us and two draws. So at home it's a win, a draw and a loss. So I know the League Cup group stage can be seen more or less as a glorified, it's friendlies,
yeah.
That's kind of stage, but I don't think there'll be too much in it.
No, I get some folk at work today saying that Dundee could go and beat us 3-4. Now, I'd be surprised if that was the case, because, like I said, neither team's really in great form. But with a one-off game, you know, maybe the lads can just let the pressures of the league and the shackles, just let them off and just say, well, go and play, see how you get on. You know, let them play 90 minutes and, you know, see where you're at.
Yeah, and as I said, it's a big game, so hopefully, because even though it's on a Monday night, maybe a lot of people have had to cancel their
Valentine's plans
or rearrange them or even take their partners with them just to kind of appease things. But hopefully it is going to be a big crowd, and hopefully I don't think it's going to be as big a crowd maybe had it been on a Saturday, which obviously no surprise, but I think the club will be well compensated with the fact that it's going to be on TV. So I think maybe if you're getting 800-900, I think that would be a decent crowd.
Yeah, I would think that would be about right. Probably round about the figure you're looking at. As you said, that they'll be compensated well for it being on TV. I would have still liked it to have been the Saturday. I was just looking at it from a fan's point of view. I think the atmosphere would have been a bit better. You know, it would have been a few guys in for a few drinks as well before the game. That might not happen. We'd been a Monday night. Yeah, it would have been maybe made for a better atmosphere. But, you know, guys have got a great chance on Monday to go through in the cup.
Okay, Doc, that'll be it for this week then. I'm going to dash off just before I completely croak all together. But I hope you've enjoyed it once again. My thanks to Martin for our enjoyment. We'll be back again next week. So until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon. Cheers.